Каша пойдет шла. I'm afraid to make one of my broad, all-encompassing statements, but the one that I would want to make is, if there is a parasha in Torah that is up to date, that is current, that describes the Jewish condition in the world today, Kislev 5772, Hamechuna, December 6, 2011. No, because I was thinking of something else. I've mentioned to you in the past that one of the most probably the first memory that I have from my childhood, first memory. Anything else beyond that, I may remember only because somebody told me about it. But there's one that I remember like it's now. And that was a day some years ago. I was in grade one in Yeshiva Tarvadas on Wilson Street in Williamsburg. It was about 1 or 2 in the afternoon. And now, this had to be an unusual experience. I was in school, and it was a Sunday. A Sunday. How many students in America were in school on a Sunday morning, and the principal came in, and I saw the look on his face was extremely, extremely grave. He whispered to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe's face turned ashen. And as soon as the principal walked out, he said to us all, "Yengalach, get dressed." And there we were. We put on our little galoshes and our coats. It was very cold. It was very cold. And we put on our scarves. And we put on. And then we lined up. The Rebbe took us out into the hall, and then we saw the rest of the school coming from all different directions, everybody marching out of the building very, very orderly and quiet. We came out onto the street, Wilson Avenue. Now if you come out Tarvadas Wilson Street and you make a left, you go to the corner, you're coming to Lee Avenue. Now, it may not mean anything to you, but someday you'll say that you heard of Lee Avenue, and that happens to be the corner where right across the street is Flams. Flams, and the candy store was at one corner, and we got to the corner of Lee and Wilson. The Rebbe said, "Yinach, life ahein. Run home." We ran home, and I came to the house. I know I've said it before, but it just moves me. Said, come into the house, and I see my parents, Aleh Mashon, sitting in front of a radio. You may not know, but the radios then were big wooden pieces of furniture and crackled a little bit. And for the first time in my life, I heard about a place called Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor. After the attack at Pearl Harbor, there was fear that the Japanese would attack the mainland of the United States of America, and there were only a few schools in America. And they notified the few schools in America, send the children home. They didn't know what was going to happen in the next few hours. So I say that's my earliest memory. I think that sort of I've been so involved in history and current events only because that's the first thing that hit me. I'll never forget it. And then, of course, during the war years, I was a little bicycle. I was 6 years old. Okay, you can do the mathematics. You can figure out anything you want. I don't care. We were very patriotic. During the course of the war years, we went out and We collected tin cans for bullets. We collected newspapers to make parachutes. Sunday morning, they'd come into yeshiva. You brought 15 cents with you, and with that, you got a savings stamp, and you put it into your savings stamp book until it added up to an $18 savings bond. We did our share. We were patriots.
It was about Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
This was America, Pearl Harbor, 1947. I'm getting old, mate. 41, December 7th, 1945. Okay, fine. So current events is an extremely part of my neshama. I don't know what's going on with this. All right, but anyway, in this parasha, we are going to see the confrontation between Yaakov and Esau. Yaakov is on his way from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, and he's going to meet up with his brother Esau. But in fact, there are going to be two confrontations. There's going to be the confrontation between Yaakov and his flesh and blood brother Esau. But preceding that, there's going to be this mysterious nocturnal struggle between Yaakov and a man. Remains unidentified. He's a malach. There are good malachim and there are bad malachim. This one is the worst of them all. He is Sorrow Shel Esav. Every nation, according to our rabbis, every nation has a prince that represents them up in heaven. Pretty bad. They have the United Nations down here, and they have a Shluga, the United Nations up there, where all of the nations of the world are represented, and one of them is Sorrow Shel Esav. And the struggle that's going to take place between Yaakov and the prince of Esau during the course of that night is really going to set the stage for Jewish history for all time. And we can see it. But we're running ahead of ourselves. We're going to do some reading. Yaakov sent messengers. What did they say? What does the English say? The English is correct.
Angels.
Here Rashi makes the statement malachim, malachim mamish, because the word malachim can mean messengers, but the word malachim also means angels. Here Rashi says this is an angel. And although Yaakov is going to meet up with Esau, he wants to send him a message via angels. He commanded them, saying, "So shall you say to my master, to Esau, so says your servant Yaakov." Yaakov is being very humble. It's cost him Mishkan Gil. It doesn't cost him anything, and it's going to make him. It's going to make Esau feel better if you can put him off guard with beautiful words. Why not? So says your servant Yaakov. In Molon Garti Vayechar Adata, I lived with Lavan and I lingered until now. And of course, there's the famous Rashi or non-Rashi. Everybody knows it, but it doesn't really appear in the early editions of Rashi. In Love and Garthi, that Garthi is the Gematria. By the way, not even true. Garthi doesn't have to be the numerical value of Targart 613. Garthi, those are the letters of Targart. In Lavan Garti, I lived with Lavan, and I was able to fulfill the 613 mitzvahs. So if you're going to think that this great message that is sent by Yakov Taitov. I lived with love on it. I kept 630 mitzvahs. You think this is going to shake them up? Like, don't shoot till you see the whites of their eyes. Give me liberty or give me death. You know what? Yes.
How did you know there were 613 mitzvahs?
The Gemara tells us that Avraham Avinu knew all of Torah. Yitzchak knew all of Torah. Yaakov knew all of Torah. They either received it through Ruach HaKodesh or by their own brilliance they were able to create it. That's taken care of many years ago. In love and guarantee, the Taryag Mitzvot Shemarti. So you should know, I don't know how much you should off Esav, but the fact is that when we, as we are swiftly approaching the end of history before the beginning of the most glorious period in history, it's amazing that the Jewish people can say we've been through so much. And you know what? We are still, there's still a strong core of Jews that are keeping 613 mitzvahs. All right, let's go. Vayehi Shorach HaMor became very wealthy. Oxen and donkeys and sheep and manservants and maidservants. And I'm sending a message to say here to Edom, in order that I should find favor in your eyes. The angels returned to Yaakov and they said to him, Esav, who came to your brother Esav, and he's coming toward you. He's coming with 400 men on to the deep. This is not going to be a simple confrontation. You think that it's your brother Esav who's coming. It's not your brother Esav who's coming at all. Yaakov was very frightened by Yitzhalo and he felt distress. Here, there's the famous Rashi, of course. Yaakov was afraid lest he be killed. By Yitzhalo, and he felt oppressed by the idea that he may have to kill others. If there's any description of what a Jewish soldier is like, this is the description. We don't want to kill anybody. If we go out to war, it is because we have no choice and we are defending ourselves. And we're the only people on the face of this earth that really don't have a right to defend themselves. We're the cause of all of our sorrows, you understand? Because we defend ourselves. Or because we exist.
Just ask Hillary.
Or because we exist, what?
Ask Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. I didn't want to go into Jerusalem Post editorial this morning, or Carolyn Glick's article that is immediately to the right of the editorial in the Jerusalem Post, but it's an awesome page. First page of the second section. That was based on an outfit. Awesome. If you want a description of the Jewish condition that we're going to see over here with Yaakov, I tell you, it's there today in the newspaper. Nothing like it. We are held to a completely different standard than any other people on the face of this earth. And we are accused of all the troubles. It's amazing. Nothing has changed. And just early wee hours in this morning, I saw a beautiful thought. The angel is going to tell him, Lo ye omer od Yaakov shemecho. Your name is no longer going to be Yaakov. Ki in Yisrael. Your name is going to be Yisrael. The Malach that he's going to struggle with during the course of the night is, as it comes toward morning, he tells him that your name is going to be changed from Yaakov to Yisrael. I think it was Rabbi Shapiro who said it. Maybe not. Lo ye omer od Yaakov shemecho, you're not going to be called Yaakov. Yaakov is the one who's accused of everything. Esav tells him, you stole my bechora, you took my brachos. Yaakov is the whole tzav of the whole world. But you know what? Your name is going to be Yisrael. Yisrael means you are the one who's Yosher, you're the one who's straight. And all of the rest of them, your yashrus, your being straight, is the yashrus of God. And that will take a little time yet. The world is certainly nowhere. Boy, we are the depths of Yaakov right now. We are accused of everything. Yes? Okay, let's go. I'm going to get lost over here. Anyway, the pasuk says that he divides he divides his camp. What does he do here? He divides his whole camp into two camps. He said, if Esau is going to come against one camp and smack it, the other will be able to survive. What's really happening is he is putting his entire family bekonenut. They are on a war footing, ready and prepared for anything that's going to come. We said already last week and the week before, the idea that he's not running, he's not fleeing, he's standing his ground and he's going to fight. Not the way he conducted himself at the end of last week, etc., with Lavan, with whom he pleads, begs, grovels. What did I do? Why do you pursue me? I worked for you for 20 years. During the day I burned in the sun, at night I froze. No. As we pointed out, Yaakov is now crossed into Eretz Yisrael. And Yaakov in Eretz Yisrael is far, far different than the Yaakov who is in Chutzlaretz. Far, far different. They think differently, they feel differently. I always call them Yaakov 1 and Yaakov 2. Yaakov 1 is Yaakov in Chutzlaretz. He's a fugitive. And Yaakov in Eretz Yisrael, it's a Yaakov who knows how to stand up for himself. And I think American Jews don't understand us. They didn't understand this whole ad campaign to bring the Israelis back. And I hope Israel has learned something from it. It's so clear that the secular school system over here set, and they go off into Golas. They are ripe for assimilation. They don't have the background of Yiddishkeit. Without that, finished. And they're falling, never. Israeli, the second generation in America, they're falling like flies. That was also an extremely choshev editorial in yesterday's Jerusalem Post. And if it's in the garbage, go pull it out and read it. What are they getting upset over there? The great American organizations, you know, about this little girl telling her Sadie in America about the. When he asks her what holiday is now, she says Christmas. You understand? Not so far from the truth. All right, but we're trying to cover too much contemporary ground. The switch news, it's unbelievable. Watch. Rashi makes the famous statement: Yaakov hitkin atzmo. He prepared himself in three ways for the confrontation with Esau: ledoron, letvila, ulmulchama. He prepared himself. He's going to send a gift he's going to send to Esau. He prays. We're going to hear his prayer right away, and he's also ready for war. Incidentally, there are different, the Rambam will have a different order of how he prepared himself. Over here, if you look at the Pesukim we just now saw, the first thing he did was he divided his camp in two. If Esau attacks one, the other will survive. And now, the next passage by Yom Yaakov. Yaakov is praying. Elokei Avi Avram, the God of my father Avram, Elokei Avi Yitzhak, the God of my father Yitzhak. Hashem Homer Elai, God, you're the one who said to me, Shuvli Arzcha Ulamoladitcha, return to your land and your birthplace, Ve'tivaymach, I'm going to be good with you. You want me here. Kotonti mikol hachasodim umikol ha'em. Oh, you've done so much for me. I'm too small for all of that. I should have seen the tavdeva that you did for your servant. Ki b'makli avarti et ha'yardin hazeh v'ata ha'yiti l'shnei machanot. As I crossed the Yarden 20 years ago, I was penniless. I was poverty stricken. With my staff, I crossed the Yarden, and now I'm coming back to Eretz Yisrael. Two great camps, great wealth. This is all you, Rabbi Yisrael. I recognize it is all you. And therefore he says, Hatzileni na miyad ochim miyad Esav. Save me from the hands of my brother, from the hand of Esav. Ki yore anokhi ato, I fear him. Pen yavobi kani en albanim. Lest he's going to come and kill me, mother and children. Yaakov Avinu knows exactly what Esav is capable of. And Esav and his Meshucha, Esav goes on later, he's going to marry into the family of Yishmael. So Esav and Yishmael are now one family. He knows the reality. So the Ebershtachitim, if they ever have power, they will destroy us utterly. I fear him. More than that, he says it. Hamas says it. The Hamas Charter calls for the absolute extermination and destruction of every Jew in the world. Because we are, Hamas, you know? That's their charter. Proud of it. Okay. Haven't heard Hillary Clinton saying anything bad about Hamas lately. Most probably they have backroom discussions going on with representatives of Hamas someplace in Laos or who knows where. And Ahmadinejad, Nachshonev Kos says it. There's the famous Beit Halevi, the first Rabbi Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, who asks Yaakov Avinu's prayer, Hatzileni no, please save me, miyad ochi, miyad Esav, from the hand of my brother, the hand of Esav. He asks, well, maybe when Yaakov Avinu was praying to God, maybe he should have given him his Tutatzeiut number 2. If he asks, save me from my brother, he only has one brother. The relation doesn't understand that that's Esav. And what happens if you would have said, Hatzileni no, miyad Esav? The relation would also have to know. Why does he have to pray, save me from my brother? And if you're not sure who that is, that's Esav. And that's why I say, maybe God won't even know who that is. So if you give him his Tudatzeiut number, then you can find out anything you want about it. So the Beis Halevi, the Rabbi Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik the first, says the following. Throughout history there have been two approaches to the attempt at destroying the Jewish people. There's the simple one. The simple one is kill them all. The other is rob them of their Jewish heritage. We have the both. You have those that want to kill us by bombing us. And then we have these creepy missionaries floating around this country who claim that they've already taken 20,000 Jews to the baptismal front. They're friends. They're our friends. They stand with us. The only ones we can depend on in the world. Yaakov knows they're both dangerous. So he therefore prays, save me from my enemy who comes against me as a brother. Hatzileni nor save me from the hands of my brother. Miyad Esav, from the hands of the one who wants to utterly exterminate me. And you know what bothers Yaakov more than anything else? He's more frightened of the internal good friend, backslapping, smiling, evangelical missionary. That's what he's afraid of most. He's afraid, Tak, of what's happening to Israeli second generation of the United States of America. The first thing he prays me, save me from their kindness, because they are killing us with their kindness. Very contemporary. V'atomata, God, you said, hey, take him, I'm going to do good for you, and I will make you see it like the sand at the seashore that will never be able to be counted because there are so many. There's a change of plans takes place in the next pasuk. By all he stayed overnight in that place Vayikach ben abob yado min chalei sabab. This is the present. He's going to take all sorts of cattle and sheep and camels and donkeys, and he's going to send them. And he gives instructions to the people who are bringing it. That this is a gift from Yaakov. We have to let's move much further. Let's move ahead. He commands each one of them to bring the great gift to him, to Esau. All right, now I'm going to the sentence where it's on the line. The massive gift that he sends to Esau passes by him. And now, Yaakov slept in the camp that night. In other words, if you think that he went off someplace to a tent in which he was going to be good and comfortable, no, he's the commander. He's out there in the field that night. That night, here comes the change in plans. In the middle of the night, he took his four wives and his 11 children, and he took them across the Yabok River. He took them across the river. He took everything to the other side, and he goes back. This is an amazing passage. This is the description of the Jewish condition throughout all of history until today. And most probably will continue that way. Yaakov remains alone. Pasuk didn't have to tell me that he remained alone. It could have simply said, Vayeyovek ish imo avalot hashachar. A man struggled, wrestled with him until dawn. But no. It's important to say, Vayeyovek Yaakov levado. Yaakov remains alone. And this is, of course, echoed in the great words of Bilam, with which we begin our davening every morning. Am levado yishkon, a people that dwells alone, upakoyim lo yitchashav. If we have ever seen it in history, we see it today, wherever you turn. Really? We are alone. There's the whole world. It's back to the days of our long view. Kol ha'olam kulo mi'evir echa. The whole world is on one side, and we are on the other side. This is, in fact, the current condition of the Jewish people, precisely as it was that night, when Yaakov was on the other side of the Yabok. And a man struggles with him, ad alot hashachar, until dawn. What does that mean? Obviously, we are talking about a story that is laden and heavy with significance of an esoteric nature. It's not a simple struggle. Torah doesn't tell us who the man is. Obviously, we have to know who the man is. Chazal tells us, our rabbis tell us. This is Sarov Shalezov. In other words, the real battle that is to come throughout all of history between Jews and the non-Jewish world, the struggle is being played out that night. That's not going to be the story that's going to take place the next day when he meets the flesh and blood Esau. This struggle is the eternal, nearly eternal struggle between the forces of evil. Sorosh or Esau represents evil. And this is Yaakov Avinu struggling against evil. Ad alot hashachar, until morning. What is the alot hashachar? The alot hashachar obviously is the ultimate alot hashachar, the ultimate dawn of the history of the world. We are going to reach a point at which all evil is going to be eradicated from the face of the earth. That's going to be. We say it in davening on Rosh Hashanah. Destroy all evil from the face of the world. The fact is that we say it that at the end of Oz Yosher every morning. V'olu Moshiim Bahar Tzion Lishvot et Har Isaf. Two mountains. Har Abayit, about 2 kilometers away from here. V'olu Moshiim Bahar Tzion Lishvot, they are going to judge Har Isaf. Esau is going to be judged on the great day of judgment. Mitzion takes a Torah. V'ol Moshiim Bahar Tzion Lishvot et Har Esau. That just so happens to be a pasuk in the Haftorah. The Haftorah of this week is an entire book of a Navi, Ovadia, 21 psukim. What a Haftorah. I hope that we'll get a few minutes to read some of it, because you can see over there a description of Jewish history, of its most darkest moments in history. But we'll get to that. We're running ahead of ourselves. The struggle goes on between Yaakov and Esau that night until dawn. But it's talking also about the longer night of Jewish exile until the dawn of redemption. The Tsar of Esau sees that he is not able to, he cannot overcome him. So he struck him the socket of his hip. The Kaf Yerach Yaakov was disengaged from, dislocated from its place. Of course, Chazal say what he's really attacking. The Medrash says the Kaf Yerach, that represents when we talk about children, they are called Yotzei Yerach Yaakov, those that come from the hip, because the hip is that which is closest to the male organ, and that represents therefore children, and they're going to strike at the children. That's what he wanted to leave Yaakov with. But take a kafir and Yaakov by Yomer. This, I say, this is awesome. This, if you want a picture of today, who was it? The American Secretary of Defense. Just get to the damn table. That's what he... Just get to the damn table. And what was he saying? If only Israel would just show a little bit of compromise. You know, there'd be peace all over the world. Oh, shit, the Shabbat on this a bit. Okay? Watch what happens. Listen to this, it's unbelievable. The Malach turns to Yaakov and he tells Yaakov, Shalcheni, send me. Yaakov doesn't know what he hits him. Chabibi, you started up with me. You attacked me. What do you mean, Shalcheni, I should send you away? Who kept you here? Who stopped you? Classic ploy. No, you started. And I believe it's at this point, or maybe even a little earlier, the Gemara in Chulin says that at one point, toward dawn, Yaakov asks this mysterious man a question. Of course, the Gemara there says, and Rashi brings it, when was Yaakov on the other side of the river? Shochach pachim ketanim. He forgot little jugs. You know, we always have all these bottles. You finish a bottle of coffee, you can't just throw it out. It'll take about 10 years until you decide, well, we didn't use it for 10 years, and it's taken up place over there. So you throw it out. Otherwise, you save them, and the mayonnaise bottles, and I may need it someday. Anyway, here are Pachin Katana. He left little things on the other side of the river. It would seem that the struggle is this guy, this mysterious man, wants his bottles. And the struggle continues for hours. all of a sudden, Yaakov, now I love this pun, I love the pun. All of a sudden, it dawns on him. And he asks this fellow, V'chigalivata? Hokudrustus, our Tava Gemara says. He asks him, are you a thief or are you a murderer? If you're a thief and you can't steal, you don't succeed in stealing my little jars, you would have left hours ago and go find somebody else's jars. But you persist in this struggle. I'm getting the idea you may want not the jugs, you want me. You don't care about Yitzhar or Migron. The sacraments, that's not the issue at all. The issue is me. All of a sudden he realizes the struggle that's going on for so long. And they're not able, he can't succeed against Yaakov. Maybe why does it go on so long? Because he has all the time in the world. And you know what he's going to do? He wants to destroy Yaakov utterly. But then, his plans are frustrated. Dawn is coming. Dawn is coming means that the long dark gullus is over, and he's going to have to stand up for judgment. Oh, now he's getting worried. He's getting very worried. So it says, "Vayomer shalcheni ki ola hashachar." Ah, that's why he wants to send me away, because the dawn has risen. So Yaakov says, "Lo hashalechava, I'm not going to send you away, ki im beit achtoni, unless you bless me." In other words, the one who is now ascendant is Yaakov. The Malach is down. He has him up against the ropes, you understand? And therefore, bless me. And he said to him, Mashimecha, what's your name? And he said, Yaakov. Pretty strange, this whole business. Is he still trying to play the game as though he didn't know that it is Yaakov? Still trying to play, even at the last minute. No, I just came to steal your job. I don't know. He knows who this is. So he said, Lo Yaakov ye omer od shimcho, your name shall no longer be Yaakov, ki in Yisrael, your name shall be Yisrael, ki sarita in alukim v'marashim ratuchal. You have struggled with the divine and with men, and you have overcome. You have overcome. Let's take a moment out to learn Ramban. Number two. And I have all sorts of stuff over here. We have to look at it. Vayarki lo yocholo. He sees that he can't win the struggle. The Malach is not going to win the struggle. Malachav gibore koach osu devaro. Al kein lo yocholo hamalach lahasika. Yaakov himself is one of the great, mighty, and strong ones of God, and therefore this angel cannot harm him. Kilo hursha rak bamesho osu imo lahakar kafireko. The Malach had no right to do anything beyond striking him in the hip. Vomer Rebreshis Chabba, the Medrash says, Noga b'chol atzadikim shasidin liot mimenu, what he really struck at, or he wanted to strike, were all the righteous that were going to come from Yaakov. Zed Doro Shishmav. I want you to listen to this Ramban very, very carefully. Zed Doro Shishmav. Doro Shishmav means there were generations in which Goyim tried to cause Jews to leave their religion. Vo'iyam, now the Ramban says, what does this mean? Ki ha'ma'ora kulo remez l'dorotav. This whole story between the Malach and Yaakov is an indication, it is really a prophecy of what is going to happen for all generations. If you want to know what's going to happen in Jewish history, you have to read and study this parasha carefully, because it's all in this parasha. Sheyedor, Bizarro Sheyakov, there's going to be a generation who will come to the seed of Yaakov, Yidkaber, Esau, Aleihem, Esau is going to rise strongly against the Jewish people, actually a cut of the Karkea Beit Satan, when it will reach the point that they will nearly succeed in uprooting the Jewish people. Now watch. There was a generation like that in the days of the wise men of the Mishnah. Kedor, like the generation of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava the Chavedov. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was one of the 10 martyrs. Kemosha Amru, as the Gemara says, Amr Abchir Baraba. Abchir Baraba said, in Yom Ali Odom, 10 Nashachal Kedusha Shmosha Lakodish Baruchu, and Ino 10. Ubilvashi Yarduni Minyan. Abchir Baraba said, if they'll come and tell me, give your life to sanctify God's name, I'll do it. On one condition. Kill me immediately. Don't torture me. I won't be able to take it. I have a bedoro of shmad, ain't no yachal lizbo. But in the generation of shmad, I can't, where people are, says, I can't handle that. I won't be able to handle it. Umaru yuosin, what did they do, bedoro of shmad? What did they do in this generation of shmad? They took balls of metal and they put them into fire until they became burning hot. The Nodim Oz, though Tachat Shachyein, and they put it under the armpits. Bo'or, the Nodim Oz, Tachat Shachyein, Umasiyin Ashutena, until they would burn and die. V'yesh Dorot Achein, the Ramban says, a lot of generations, Shosun Mon Kazed, they did it like this. V'yotedam, he said, even worse than this. V'akol Savanu, and all of it, we tolerated it. V'avar Alein, we passed. Moshe Romas, Vayova Yaakov Shalom, the end of the Pasha over here is going to be that Yaakov arrives in Eretz Yisrael and he comes to Shechem and he is healed. If the Ramban would have been writing his Perush and Chumash today, he's told us of what happened to Dorosh Shmad. He didn't begin to understand what would happen to the Jewish people. He thought Dodo Shoshmat of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was terrible. Say what happened from the time of the Ramban until today. The Ramban could never even imagine anything of the sort. The Cholzot, Savanu, he suffered. Umyahopin say, Ibiko left. Analut HaShachar. By Alot HaShachar, that's when it really counts. Well, I try to imagine sometimes, what would the Ramban have said if he would have known of or experienced what Jews have gone through since the time that he wrote his Perush. He wrote it in the 13th century, I don't know, 1250, 1260. You know the one date that I know in the Ramban's life? 1267. You all know 1267, don't you? What happened in 1267 with the Ramban? He arrived in Yerushalayim. And he found a grand total of two Jews living in Yerushalayim. Two Jews, 1267.
He had no Arminian.
He didn't have a minyan. I mean, that's one little problem. I mean, the big problem is that there weren't 500,000 Jews in the city, but there were two Jews. He didn't have a minyan. He had to go find a minyan someplace else. Can you imagine that? Two Jews in this city. Don't ever complain if you're caught in a traffic jam. Ever complain if you have difficulty getting onto the light rail. If there's a jam with people, just look heavenward and say, Hold my shanty tail, can you go that's what you should say. And think always to yourself, what would Rabbi Akiva say when he sees this? He'd be sitting there like, I can't believe it. Rabbi Akiva gave his life. All right, wait a minute. Let's go. Come on. The Haftorah of the Haftorah is the Sefer Ovadia. I remember I had in the Shigaz, I think I was 13, 14 years old, I wanted to learn a whole Sefer at Tanakh down there. So I took the easy way out. Ovadia is one chapter, 21 psukim. And I learned about it. I think that's the latest thing I learned about it. Chazar Omer, Yekomar Hashem Elokim Lechem, Shmur Shemar Meis Hashem, Yitzur Rabbeinu Shmur, Kubur Menachum Aleh Olachem. Are you reasonably impressed?
Yes.
Go home and spend half an hour, you better do the same thing. In middle, Ovadia is talking about the ultimate punishment of Esav. Esav represents the world of anti-Semitism, the non-Jewish world that despises the Jewish people. It's a pretty, they have a lot of company out there. They're a pretty robust bunch out there. And here it is. And he says what's going to happen. He tells him Esav is going to be crushed, destroyed, obliterated. And you know why it's going to happen? Take a look at Pasuk Yud. The first Pasuk that's underlined. Yaakov. All of this is going to happen to you because of the violence that you did to brother Yaakov. You will be covered with shame. You will be destroyed forever. And now watch. Everybody's going to get into the picture. The day on which you stood aloof. In other words, there were Esavs who caused destruction, and there were a lot of Esavs out there in the world that just stood by and watched and didn't lift a finger. That's right. The St. Louis can be right off the coast of Miami. Nobody's going to do anything about it. The day on which foreign strangers captured his army, the Nachram Bo Shorov, and the Goyim came into his gates by Yerushalayim Yadu Garol, and they threw lots of at Yerushalayim. Who's going to get what in Yerushalayim? We're going to divide Yerushalayim. Gam Atokachamim. You're also. You weren't there? Those of you who weren't there, but you didn't lift a finger, you didn't do anything, you remained silent. Yes, sir, you remained silent, so you should know no sin is a sin of omission, and God considers not doing something just as bad as ones who did. You should not have watched with glee on the day of your brother beyond Nachro, the day he was exiled. You shouldn't have been happy about the sons of Yehuda on the day they were destroyed. You shouldn't have opened up your mouth wide on the day of the exile. You should not have come into the gates of my people on the day of their catastrophe. Al Tayyeg Amachaber Al Talmutu should not have been there to watch his evil beyond me go the day of his catastrophe. Al Tishlach Nabachelon, then there are those who helped out, you understand? You sent your army also on the day of his great distress. Al Tamod Al Hapedek Lachriz Et Pleitam. You shouldn't have stood on the crossroads that those who flee. You were there to destroy the ones who flee. What? How many boats did our dear friends, the British? They didn't want Jews in Eretz Yisrael. You know what their range is? They're getting Muslims in England. They're getting Muslims in England. I'm waiting for when Abdullah Muhammad is going to be the Prime Minister, His Majesty's Prime Minister. Because the day of God is close, coming close against all the nations. Kasher Asita, as you did, Yeyoseh Lach will be done to you. Gemulcha, that which you did, your Shum Beroshecha, is going to come back upon your head. What you, Klal Yisrael, suffered on Har Tzion, the destruction of Yerushalayim, and all the other destructions of our world history, that's exactly what's going to happen to all of the ground. The shosel, the low, the so, it's just so beautiful. They will drink, the low, and they will swallow, v'hayu k'lohayu, and they will be like they never existed. Klal Yisrael suffers, but survives. They're not going to survive the ultimate judgment. The shosel, the low, v'hayu k'lohayu. What a beautiful, beautiful phrase. And on Mount Zion there shall be a remnant, and it shall become holy. I remember when I came in 1955 to learn in the Panevish Yeshiva. The yeshiva is built on one of the hilltops of Bnei Brak. Emblazoned along the building, the entrance of the building is Ubahar Tzion Tia Plato Bohoyo Kodesh. In Eretz Yisrael there will be a survival of the Jewish people. That's what the Polish Rosh wanted on top of that building. Har Tzion Tia Plato. All of Eretz Yisrael is Har Tzion. And he built it because he knew already that the Polish was destroyed, his family was gone, everything was gone. The great Panevish Yeshiva in Panevish is a bakery. It's a bakery. The Yerushal Beit Yaakov, no, Hashem, the house of Yaakov is going to inherit its inheritors. And here the great Pasuk, V'hayu Beit Yaakov Esh, the house of Yaakov Ufaya, Ubeit Yosef Lahavah, and the house of Joseph will be a flame, Ubeit Esav Lekash. You have fire and flame, and the house of Esav is going to be strong. Oh, yeah, yeah. V'dolku ben v'acholim, v'lo yesavid l'beit Esav k'yashem dibay. The fire will consume them utterly, and there will be no remnants for the house of Esav. And then, of course, the last pasuk, pasuk 21. This is one of those haftorahs that is exactly the number of psukim that a haftorah is supposed to have. By right, a haftorah should have at least 21 psukim. 3 into 21 is how much?
7.
Very good. 7. You're right. And the haftorah was instituted at a time that the Romans didn't let Jews read the Torah, so they read the Haftorah, and they read 21 psukim, which represent 7 aliyahs, because the minimum aliyah requires 3 psukim. 7 times 3 is 21. This was in loco, in place of Kriyat HaTorah. Very good. Number 6, that's it. We're going to do number 6. Medrash. That Berakhir b'shem Rav Simon Amar, Ein Ka'el, there is no my God. Umi Ka'el, and who is my God? Yeshua. Pasuk at the end of Torah. Ein Ka'el Yeshua. Okay, Yeshurun is also a name for the Jewish people. That means we have 3 names. We have Yaakov, we have Yisrael, Yeshua. So the Gemara, the Medrash says the following. This is really the ultimate of the whole parasha. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Katov Bo. Just like the Holy One, blessed be He, about Him it says, V'nizgo Hashem Levado. Af Yaakov, Vayivoter Yaakov Levato. Just as God will remain alone. God is the greatest survivor of them all. We have that power of Levato. We have the power to remain and survive, though everybody is against us, and we are Levato. This beautiful comparison between God and the Jewish people. That's the Zohar. Kutshubirichu Oraita V'Yisrael. The Holy One, Blessed Be He. And Torah, Yisrael. It's all one. Yaakov, Yisrael, and Yeshua. That's it. The story of this parasha is the story of the survival of Jewish people at Alot Hashachar. By Yivoter Yaakov Levado. Yaakov remained on, and he struggled throughout all of that long night. There was always a struggle. But then Alot Hashachar comes. The game is all over. Evil is destroyed from the world. That's the ultimate message of the parasha. The day will come where evil is destroyed. That's the parasha. That's the Haftorah. Les Pasuk of the Haftorah sums up the message of the parasha. For Ol Moshim Haratzion, the Shvot of Haritzon. We have an announcement. Press the red button. The red button. There's a red button.